You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Tama Gaudette. In late 2019, the president issued an executive order to create a task force to address the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in the United States. That order was one of the first federal acknowledgments of the epidemic. According to the Department of Justice, Indigenous women and girls face higher rates of domestic and sexual violence than other populations. And since reporting mechanisms are inconsistent across the country, there is a huge gap in the data. So in other words, the problem, it is bigger than we are aware of. One goal of the task force is to bridge this gap and understand just how widespread this issue is. But not everyone in the Indigenous community is thrilled, especially with the long history of broken treaties here in the United States. Ty Simpson is with the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence, and she is joined here in studio by Idaho State Representative Carolyn Nielsen-Troy. Tara Sweeney is the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs at the Department of the Interior, and she is joining us live by phone from Washington, D.C. I want to thank all of you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
And Ty, I want to start with you. The missing and murder crisis has been in the news more recently, but for people who aren't aware, could you tell us why we don't have specific numbers for how widespread this issue is?
How much time do we have?
Yeah, right.
We can start. Let's start with the broader picture. There are significant and severe jurisdictional issues in and outside of Indian country. Most people don't realize that on Indian reservations, there are also non-natives who live there. There are also Indigenous folks from tribes that are not on that Indian reservation. We have access and barriers to justice. So how far does somebody have to travel to report somebody missing or report violence in their home? We also need to talk about the often lack of law enforcement response in some instances of violence, which makes folks averse to reporting. And then instances of trafficking are generally not seen as folks missing. They're often relegated to runaways or some other negative implicit biases that are attached to those reports. So that's kind of the nutshell version of that.
And Tara, you were on the federal task force that I mentioned that is looking into this issue. What are your priorities?
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. And I also want to thank Ty Simpson for her advocacy. I do believe that it's important to continue to give a voice to so many of our people who do not have a voice in this process because they have fallen victim to either murder or have gone missing. And so Operation Lady Justice is the name of the task force, and we have a large and a very important charge ahead of us. We're scheduling listening sessions and consultations throughout the country to come together to listen, to learn, and to provide recommended solutions to address the data deficiencies that you spoke of, to jumpstart work on cold cases or unsolved cases in Indian Country and Alaska Native communities, and to improve, clarify, and communicate the multi-jurisdictional protocols and the procedures, but also to find agreement on federal best practices to address these types of epidemics that are facing our Native communities.
And Representative, I do want to bring this issue back to Idaho, but also want to recognize that the tribes never existed along our imposed state lines. But that said, what is the state of Idaho doing to address this issue?
First, thank you for having us, because this is such an important issue, and it certainly has not gotten enough attention ever. I was first made aware of this because I am in my other life, besides being a legislator, I have a nonprofit consulting company, and I was spending a lot of time up in Alaska and meeting with people from the different Native corporations up there and hearing these stories and asking them questions and as it might relate to Idaho. And so it sent me back here being thoughtful and worried. And I represent, I'm kind of sandwiched between the Coeur d'Alene tribe and the Nez Perce tribe. And so I came back and started asking questions of tribal members that I knew. And I think the convergence then kind of came together because Ty was advocating for it down here in Boise, and I started asking about it up north, and I gave us an opportunity to bring the attention to this. I think what we're doing a little bit different than what other states have done is our governor wasn't willing to wait to have the legislature come into session and have a task force come together formally. And so he just asked Ty's group to proceed. You know, let's get on this. Let's get the right people on board. Let's make sure that the tribes are part of this conversation and that they're helping to lead the conversation, which that in itself, I think, is what's maybe different about what's happening here in Idaho. It wasn't the legislature coming out and saying, oh, there's a problem, let's fix it. It was the tribes coming forward and saying, yes, we will go and stay in a partnership with the state on this, but this is an issue that we want to have the primary voice on.
Absolutely. And I had have to echo that this any effort around missing and murdered Indigenous people or any Indigenous issues that afflict our community in a negative way, all of the solutions need to be community informed, need to be Indigenous community informed. And I know from Tara's standpoint and her partnership with Indian Country is going to be tantamount in that way. It needs to be informed by tribal leadership across the country. So I think Idaho is doing something very innovative in the way that we're collaborating around solutions here because it is Indigenous voice centered.
Mm-hmm. Tara, I want to ask you this, and I mentioned this again in the very beginning of the segment, but we know there is a history of broken treaties between the United States government and North American Indigenous tribes. How does that factor into how the task force is addressing this issue and therefore, you know, some of the skepticism around it?
Sure. And I think that's a fair question and one that I'm happy to answer. I think it's important that we change the narrative on how the federal government engages and interacts and delivers services to Indian Country. The criticism that you're talking about has been that the lack of tribal leader representation on the task force. This is an all-federal task force represented by the Department of the Interior, Health and Human Services, and the Department of Justice. And how we engage is going to be extremely important because the foundation for meaningful change is definitely rooted in robust engagement with Indian Country and Alaska Native villages, tribes, and tribal leadership. So tribal consultation and listening sessions will inform our recommendations, and that's important because the task force has set up a very robust listening session and tribal consultation schedule. We currently have conducted two listening sessions so far. We have three formal consultations scheduled and an additional 11 listening sessions from throughout the country from now until July. And you can find that information on the Department of Justice's website in their news release section. The schedule of the various consultations and listening sessions are now public.
And Ty, before we take a quick break, I want to ask you this. You have mentioned in the past that the matriarchal structure of tribes makes this issue particularly dramatic for Indigenous communities. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, something near 80% of the Indigenous nations in the United States are matriarchies, which means that many of our creation stories start and focus around Indigenous women and girls. There is a balance in the relationship between men and women and Two-Spirit folks in our communities. And so when we see violence against our women as acutely as we do, it destabilizes our communities and to some degree perpetuates genocide against our people.
We need to take a quick break and we will continue this conversation. We'll be back. I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet, and we are continuing our conversation dealing with the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. And we are talking live with Ty Simpson with the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence, Idaho legislator Carolyn Nilsen-Troy, and the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs at the Department of the Interior is joining us on the phone from Washington, D.C., Tara Sweeney. You know, we know that the number of missing and murdered Indigenous people here in Idaho is relatively low compared to other Mountain West states. And we have talked about issues in reporting. So we know that that definitely is at play here. But Idaho has also pushed tribes out of our state altogether over the years. There is a history of that. So Representative and Ty, what impact do you think that has had?
On this issue?
On this issue, yes.
First of all, I don't know that we can say that our numbers are low because I don't know that we know. That's a whole issue, is that
it's true.
When it comes to reporting, we know they're low, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that we have to work hard to keep that in mind. And I think that that's our goal. One of the first things we want to do is be able to have a better understanding of that. And then, as you say, and Ty certainly is the one who should speak to this, but, you know, tribal members being pushed out and being disenfranchised from their homelands, I think, is all part of the grief that is happening.
Yeah, you're exactly right. From a historical standpoint, and this is going to be through the lens of Nimiipuu people, because that is my community. We at one point had usual and custom territory to the tune of about 15 million acres between the Northwest region states, what are now the states. And now we have something just over 700,000. So that loss of land is deeply tied to loss of culture, loss of language, and disenfranchisement, dehumanization. And this is kind of our last vestige of, like, how do we keep our culture together? How do we assert our humanity to folks in saying, like, our women are going missing, our folks in our community are going missing. There are some tribes in Idaho that say they have more men missing than women. And so by addressing that issue through that historical lens, we're saying colonization has had all of these impacts and it is now coming to fruition in this particular issue over the last 50, 60 years or so. But it's not a new problem. It's right. An old problem with a new conversation.
And Representative, a couple of weeks ago, a resolution regarding missing and murdered Indigenous people was actually passed in the Idaho legislature. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yes, certainly. In fact, Ty really was an architect behind that. It kind of also came back to what kind of legislation do we need to have? Do we need to have, you know, a bill or this resolution? And I was more comfortable with a resolution because I don't think it's right for the Idaho legislature to tell the tribes in the state what they should be doing. I liked, let's bring awareness to this. Let's mirror what the U.S. is doing and recognizing a missing and murdered Indigenous Women's Day, although we're looking at people, as Ty said, not just women, but all missing Indigenous people. And then we can go from there. But we really wanted to do something to build awareness to be part of that national movement while being uniquely Idaho.
And the other piece for now, like, it starts with education, right? We know for sure that there were several dozen probably representatives in the House that didn't have any idea around the very baseline of this issue. So in writing a resolution,
that's
we're creating
being nice.
Yeah, that is. I'm trying to be generous there. Now this open door to create new knowledge for the legislators and policymakers here. And it also is a starting point for collaboration between organizations. So the tribal communities themselves, interagency, law enforcement collaboration, even regional stakeholders, because we have to look at this as a regional issue. We very often get kind of siphon ourselves to state by state, tribe by tribe, when it is very intertribal. It is very interstate and that's also historical in the way that tribes have been interacting kind of regionally for generations anyway, you know, so kind of keeping that going as well.
But I have to say, I knew we were on the right track when I went to the 4-H Know Your Government breakfast a couple of weeks ago. And there's a very strong 4-H program on the Coeur d'Alene, within the Coeur d'Alene boundaries. And one of the leaders came up to me, who's a Coeur d'Alene tribal member, and she just put her arms around me and started crying. and mm-hmm. said, thank you for doing this. And I think there are so many stories that we don't even know that are out there. And it's sad that it's taken us this long to get to this point, but I seldom have constituents that react so strongly to some legislation. And that just was a very powerful moment. I don't think I'll ever forget it.
Well, being heard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And seen.
Yeah.
So, Tara, I do need to ask this because some people have criticized the task force as being inadequate to solve such a huge issue. Now, obviously, you have to start somewhere, though. But what is your response to this?
Well, my response would be, you know, I would prefer to look beyond the distraction of those who choose to divide our community and recognize that it really does take a community to solve these issues or to address these issues in an effective format that provides for greater communication and healing in our Native community. So the keystone words are collaboration and partnership, and I'm really proud of the tools that the administration has provided through the President and Secretary Bernhardt to support the policies and the efforts that empower Indian Affairs to reclaim our Native communities. We held four Reclaiming Our Native Community listening sessions throughout the country and did a missing and murdered segment in Washington on the Yakima Nation Reservation, and each time that we met with tribal leaders and stakeholders and victims and advocates, we learned something, and it informed our decisions. It informed those conversations, informed the recommendations that we put forward to the president with respect to the executive order. So we learned about trauma-informed training and the importance of providing that to first responders and law enforcement officials who may be in rural communities. And the challenges of, as Ty mentioned earlier, the challenges of making an initial report because of proximity or lack of services. And we also learned about wraparound services for those victims that may be returned home who are found, or services to support families who are grieving. And so I am choosing as Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs to focus on what we can do working together. This is not a political issue. This is how we can service Indian Country and Alaska Native communities and to begin that path of healing and effective service delivery.
And Tay, before we go, I just want to ask you on a personal level, what does this mean to you?
Oh, goodness. I don't actually stop to feel my feels during this work a lot. And actually, I will take it in the same vein, answer this both professionally and personally, because there is no line for me.
Right.
It does all just blend together. And in response to Tara's response there about folks who are naysayers, I was in the camp and may even still mildly be in the camp that doesn't believe that the federal task force can do all of the work. That's okay, right? That doesn't mean that I'm going to stop doing this work or that I'm not going to collaborate. What it means is that I feel like it's important to address the intersections of politics and socioeconomic status, access to education, empowering rural communities, especially those on Indian reservations, to address this issue. There's so many facets to this one issue that a singular task force addressing a singular issue isn't going to cut it in Indian Country. And we can't move towards healing without acknowledging historical atrocity, right? So I'm trying to bridge the past and the present in this work in that way. From a personal standpoint, I do this work now. I will work tirelessly to make sure that folks are brought home safe, that we can reconcile our families, that we can pray in a good way, that we can conduct the ceremonies that are necessary to be at peace. And I do this now so that in the future, my nieces don't have to grow up for the fear of violence against them, that they will be safe, that they can thrive.
And I hope that just by having the conversation and starting the conversation, more people have heard. And if we can talk about it and if we can acknowledge it, hopefully that will help too. So I want to thank all three of you for being a part of this conversation today. We've been talking with Ty Simpson with the Idaho Coalition Against Sexual and Domestic Violence, Idaho State Representative Carolyn Nilsson-Troy, and the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs at the Department of the Interior, Tara Sweeney. Again, thank you all.
Katia, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.